You ask with headed boys. That's Jerry Santoff back there. He was asking after you. So everyone afterwards, all of you go back and make your howdy do's to him. It's good to have Daniel Kyle back with us for the school year. And again, think of that, an exceptional pastor for when his son was going to, or not his son, but when someone out of his church was going to go to Alfred State, looked around, found a church. All right? That's an exceptional pastor, all right? And having Daniel here last school year was wonderful, and it'll be wonderful this year, I have no doubt, all right? All right, turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 46. Been given a challenge. Debbie Bell, what used to be Debbie Dohanty, she's going through on the website, she's trying to take some key messages and put key words next to them and some idea what it's about, because she herself gets frustrated with the search features trying to find messages on this or that or whatever else. And you know, I don't know, we got hundreds of messages on there now, a couple different churches and or whatever else. And so she told me, can't you just give me a key word or an idea what you preached about? You know my preaching, you know, there's about 20 key words or this or that or whatever else, whatever I thought I was going to preach on, I don't preach on. But Psalm chapter 46, we'll take a look at it. Kyle Beal, would you be so kind as to pray?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, the power it has to change lives, and the interest it sparked in our community. Mrs. Bell is no exception, that she'd want to hear your word outside of church. And God, I just ask that you bless the seed of truth, that it would change our lives to beyond Sunday, that Sunday wouldn't just be our church time, but that we'd be interested in your word today, tomorrow, and as long as you'd embrace us to tarry. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so Psalm chapter 46, to the chief musician, the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. Now, you know, why do I read that? Well, you know something? In the Hebrew Bible, that would be verse 1. It's one of the few places the Hebrew Bible is numbered just like the Christian Bible is. That's one of the few exceptions in how they number it. They number that little post or prescript there. They number that as verse 1, whereas we do not. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Amen.
Years ago, my pastor pointed out, it didn't say in times of trouble, in trouble itself. He's a very present help in trouble. Now, trouble is something that comes. When I was a kid, we were raised with, if you've got trouble, wait, don't run. This kind of trouble is lots of fun. It was a game you played, you popped it or whatever else. It shows some kid running around or something. But, you know, in my many years I've learned, I didn't have to play a game to find trouble. All right? Trouble comes. You know, the Apostle Paul, you would think after all that time out there in a ship and shipwrecked and all the things that went on and fasting all that time, saving his and the other prisoners' lives from the soldiers who are going to come, they swim to shore, and the very first thing that happens is a serpent latches onto his hand. Okay? You think, why? Why? And then he shook it off. I've learned that trouble comes in Christian lives, and it comes to other lives. The difference is, in a Christian life, God is present in that trouble. If you'll look for him, he's there. Okay? He's there in that trouble. Ask some of these older people who've been around and walked in Christ a long time, and you'll find that they've had trouble. And in the midst of that trouble, there was a great God in the midst of it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the astonishment to the king was to see the Son of God walking amongst them. And when they came out of that fire, the only thing that burned off of them was what man put on. None of their other stuff burned whatsoever. And it just may be that God will put you through the fires and put you through trouble to burn off what man has put upon you. Okay? Don't be surprised at that. But I said that just for you to understand that God is a present help in trouble. He's there. Okay? Verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Well, interestingly enough, I've watched that. I have stood. I remember teaching Bible college in Mangataram in Pangasinan, Philippines. I was supposed to go there for 10 months and teach two different semesters of school. And it was monsoon season. And I remember stepping outside because we felt some earthquakes. And stepping outside and it's raining. And being from New York, you're used to hard things coming to you in the rain. You know, that's like sleet or snow or something. Realize, wait, this is the Philippines. They don't have snow. That's sand in the rain. The volcano had started. All right? And we watched the earth move. I actually stood and watched boulders the size of houses rolling down rivers. I've watched that with my own eyes, okay? Though the earth be moved and the and the mountains dissolved or whatever else. But let's take it not so much literal, but figurative in the things that can be destroyed in your life. It's nothing for God to go into a Christian and kick the foundations of that life to pieces because he wants to change that life and he wants to change what they stand on and change what they believe in and change all of that.
Amen.
It's no secret that 20 years ago, God blew my family to pieces. Utter destruction. I remember sitting in Machias, New York and talking to Jerry Hain, the one that started that church that you live next to. And talking to him, he said, Jerry, I don't think I'll ever be happy again. And he said, you will be. You will be. And somewhere, a couple of months ago, my son Michael, who finally came to Christ, him and his wife, told me, he said, for once I can thank God that he destroyed our family. I can thank God that he did what he did. And I look at all that God did in our lives. And I actually am able to thank God for having done that. Okay? Don't be surprised if terrible things happen in your lives. They happen to all people. It raineth upon the rich and the poor alike. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised by that. The world will watch you when it happens. Will you fall apart? Will you mourn? Will you just throw everything out because it's happened? Or will you be like the Apostle Paul and shake that serpent off and go on and live your life? Maybe with sorrows that you never wanted to have. I know people even in this building today as I sit there who bear sorrows, unspeakable sorrows, hard things that have gone on in their lives. But you know what? God's a very present help even in those times. God's there. God's part of that. That's what he does. Then it says this, verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The psalmist wants you to know what Ezekiel will describe, what John will describe in the book of Revelation, and what Jesus Christ prophesied. The psalmist wants you to know there is a river. There is a river glorious, okay? That river's there, and we're going to take a look at it in the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47, this is a passage of Ezekiel, the last nine chapters of Ezekiel, 260 verses, they match the 260 chapters of the New Testament. Ezekiel The last nine chapters are really the New Testament for the Jews. It's that building of the millennial temple. It's the land being divided in the millennial temple. It's that millennium going on. It's all pictured for them. They have built the ark. Or I shouldn't say they built the ark. They built the temple, which ends up resembling the ark. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's one of the strangest things in the world. They build a temple that's wider at the top than the bottom. And it sits up on the hill. It doesn't sit where the temple does to do. It sits up on the hill. What is that? It's a picture for all eternity of Noah's Ark and God's covenant with man and what he has done. It's a picture there that throughout the eternity people will look at. And God showed that to Ezekiel and gave him the measurements thereof. But he says this in verse 1 of Ezekiel 47, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So imagine now this temple that's been built. And by the way, this is the temple built by Jesus Christ himself. This in the book of Zechariah says, and the branch shall build that temple. Right now I realize that there's all sorts of things been stored in Jerusalem and that, and that another temple will be built, but the Antichrist is going to build that next temple. Okay, and that's a grief, okay? That's a grief. It's a betrayal to the Jews when he does it. But then Jesus Christ will come and he'll build his temple. And one of the things with that temple, there's going to be a river that flows out of that temple, okay? And where's the source of that river? God himself is the source of that river, okay? So it says verse 2, and then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without under the utter gate of the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Now, the man there is an angel. When you read your Bible, angels are always men. They're described as men. And I saw the man Gabriel, and I saw this, and I saw that. So when it says the man, and that's why the Apostle Paul says, be careful to entertain strangers, because many have entertained angels unawares. Many times angels came up to people in that Old Testament, people didn't realize they were angels. So the man came up. Now it says verse 4, and he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in a river that could not be passed over. Where are these waters coming from? They're coming from the throne of God. There is a river. There is things that are eternal. There are things that are beyond what man can understand, and the ken of man can put together. And this is one of those things, and the psalmist wants you to know that in the midst of your trouble and whatever is going on, that God is there, and there is a river. Okay?
Amen.
Goes on and it says this, verse 6, and he said, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And when I had returned, behold, the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it came to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. There shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, and they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh.
The psalmist wants you to know there is a river.
Amen.
There's a river.
People have become attracted to this church for different reasons. I love every one of the reasons. We're a wonderful singing church. I love the singing at the Black Creek Baptist Church. I love it. We keep the King James Bible. We preach it. I love that. We preach the doctrines of the Word of God. I love that. But there are many of you who fell in love with this church because God used this church to preach Jesus Christ to you and show you from this book
how your life could be healed.
Amen.
Okay? And many of you have found healings and miracles in your life. Many of you have found that where there was destruction and bitterness and cruelty and drug addiction, alcoholism, depression, virtual on the brink of suicide day after day. Pastor Hain brought up that thing of human cutting. Okay? Why did the prophets of Baal cut themselves? They were desperate. They couldn't get a hold of God. Okay? Desperate for anybody to listen to them. Why did the wild man of Gadara cut himself? He's desperate. He's hurting so bad inside. Why are women cutting themselves today? They're desperate. They're crying out. It's all phony. Everything's been taught to people out there. It's phony. It doesn't work. It hurts them.
Amen.
I'm not mad at people for their alternative lifestyles. You know that. So many of you, I have loved you in the midst of your alternative lifestyle. I've loved you in the midst of it. And I've sorrowed because all it brought to you was misery and depression. All it brought to you was grief. That's all it ever brought to you. And you learn that there's a river.
Amen.
And it flows from the throne of God. And this great God of glory can take your life. And that the words of this book are not written against you. They're written for you. They're written to help you. Okay? I've often said this, there's very few things more frustrating than having a car and having the wrong owner's manual.
Yeah.
Okay? Frustrating. Try to set the clock radio. And you got an owner's manual from 2 years earlier. And you can't ever get it set. Alright? It takes a 12-year-old kid to set a clock radio. It's just part of the Constitution of the United States, alright? But the thing is, you can't make it work. And you try to get this right. Other things kind of work. And then you finally get the right owner's manual. And everything sets exactly like it's supposed to. And everything works exactly right. Because whoever created that car wrote that manual. That's what this book is.
Amen.
This is a King James Bible. And it is the owner's manual for the one that created you. It will explain your life to you, and it will show you how to make your life work like you want your life to work. On our wedding day, my wife sang a song. It's no secret that when I met my wife, she was living on the streets of Columbia, South Carolina. I wasn't ashamed of her. I'd lived on the streets in New York. And our pastor loved people like us, just loved us. Build a church out of people like us. When God put my wife and I together, she stood up and sang a song. He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. She sang that song. Okay? You know why? God gave her beauty for their ashes. Where she mourned, He gave her life. Okay? Gave her hope. God's given us 8 wonderful children. That was enough. Put Randy in our house. Been one of the greater honors we've ever had, having Randy Kenyon in our house. Given us a church family. People we love us. It's just God. Because there's a river. There's a river. All right? And in the midst of that, we've watched other lives broken. And I mean broken. And some of you know you were broken. We have husbands and wives who've learned to love each other. We have people who are just swamped with depression and all those horrible things, and their lives now are together, and they find hope in life, and they find a purpose in life, and they find joy coming to the house of God. Why? Because there's a river. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 7. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You want to know something? When that God begins to dwell in you, and he sits on the throne of your heart. By the way, what's on the throne of your heart? What's ruled you this last week?
I'm on now.
What's ruled you? But when Jesus Christ is on the throne of that heart, those waters issue from him.
Amen.
And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Says this spake he of the Spirit. The Spirit of God being those rivers of living water to you. Being that wonderful thing.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 4. We'll go to verse 9. And again, one of the reasons I've always loved this story of the woman at the well is because Jesus Christ said this. He said, "No man knoweth the Son but whom the Father shows him." There are men who demanded of Jesus Christ, "Who are you?" He wouldn't tell them. Pilate demanded, "Tell me." Thou hast said. The high priest demanded, "Tell me." But this woman here had five husbands. The man she's living with now is not her husband. He told her. "I that speak unto thee am he." He told her. Let me tell you something. One of the things I love about some of the men who've been called to preach, by the way, at our 1 o'clock, two of the men called to preach will each preach for 20 minutes and we'll critique them. Okay? Just be part of what we're doing and we'll critique them. But part of what I love is it's so obvious to me that God's scraping the bottom of the barrel. He scraped the bottom of the barrel to get me to be a preacher. If you know those two of me preaching, he scraped the bottom of the barrel to get down. All right? And I love it. God chose the foolish things of this world, the weak things of this world, to confound the things that are mighty. It's just the way God is. Okay? Just the way God is. But John chapter 4, verse 9. "Then the woman of Samaria saith unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Out of your belly, young lady, would flow rivers of living water. The pain, can you imagine the pain of a woman that has known five husbands? You know, people want to get mad. "Oh, that woman's own." Think of the pain of that life. Does anybody ever think of the pain of that life? Did anybody ever think of the pain of a life where you're living with a man who won't marry you? Anybody ever think of the pain of that life? Jesus did. That's what Jesus saw. He saw a broken person. That's what he saw. And you folks know that's why when you pull into the 7-Eleven and some girl with half her head shaved and a bone through her nose and tattoos all over, don't you mock her in front of me. Don't you come to me and say things about her. Somewhere there's a daddy that didn't know when that little girl was born that one day she'd shave half her head and put a dull mold through there. Defile her body with all those tattoos. Somewhere there's a daddy there. And maybe he's a horrible man. Maybe that's something he deserves, his daughter, that way. I just know that Jesus Christ has compassion. And by the grace of God, we've seen some women broken and hurting. Today, beautiful, dressing like ladies of God, but they can't hide the tattoos. They never will hide the tattoos. But you know what? They're badges of honor that God can take people and God can save and God can deliver and God can make lives over, okay? That's what it is. Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What a promise. There is a river. There is a river. And this is the man there from whence that river will flow. This is the man who will sit on that throne, and a river will go forth, just a little trickle from that throne, and then under the doors, and you could pass just up to your ankles. But if you want to go out a little bit further, it's up to your thighs, and then up to your loins, and then only the body can swim through it. And you know what? Jesus Christ has invited every one of you to walk in that river, to swim in that river, to live in that river, to drink of that river, to live of that river.
Man.
Used to be in old colonial times and such that a river was the source of life, and towns built up on rivers. All water, all commerce, all food, everything came from that river. Okay? People understood the value of a river. If you've walked with Jesus Christ, you understand the value of that river. Verse 15, the woman saith to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now she asked, didn't she? But he's not about to give it to her. Because she really doesn't know what she's asking for. Okay? She really doesn't understand what she's asking for. He's got to deal with her sin first. Okay? And you say, why would he do that? Because he loves her. He loves her. And God will take any repentant sinner and give them all the grace of heaven and all the goodness of heaven. But he's going to deal with their sin first because he's God. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Now isn't that something? Oh, give me that water. Go call your husband. Bring him back here. How about that rich young ruler said, What must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, go sell everything you have. What? Why? Because it exposed his sin. It exposed him for what he was. It exposed him for someone who'd rather have his goods than God. Okay? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. And that thou saidst truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know that we worship for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such a worshipper. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. You know what? She has stood there and allowed him to rebuke her over her sin and explain to her what the truth of the word of God is. She hasn't argued back, that isn't how I was trained. She hasn't argued back that stuff. You know what he did? Verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He revealed himself to her.
Amen.
Salvation. Deliverance. Out of her belly now flows rivers of living water. There is a river. Pastor Haynes.